Welcome to Peace Online. I'm Winston Pratt, one of the pastors here at Peace, and I trust that you will be blessed as you experience worship in this new way with us online. Please make sure that you explore all the elements of our life together in the letter that Jenny sent out. This will be the format going forward. There's really great material there for you to feed on that will really nourish your soul. Personally, I'm excited to see what possibilities open up for us as we learn new skills and also as we discover new ways to connect and grow online. This is a new venture for all of us, and it's quite an exciting journey too. Friends, my message today focuses on how to stay strong during the storms of life. Every now and again, something happens that shakes us to the core, filling us with anxiety and fear, as well as producing a sickly sense of unease in our hearts. It could be because of many different things. It could be because of the loss of a job, the breakdown of a long-term relationship, a fatal diagnosis from your doctor, a life-changing accident, or your life savings being wiped out in a day. My list could go on. These kinds of things and others similar to it can really rock our world. And let's be honest, they can shake our faith as believers too. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to imagine a scenario with me. Picture a situation where a major event happens to everyone all at the same time. Fear and anxiety then are compounded, but now there's no one to lean on. Everyone else is feeling the same way as you do, and we are all running scared at exactly the same time. And COVID-19 is such a crisis for our generation. It is, in a sense, our first existential crisis where we are all facing the same threat and experiencing the same fears all at the very same time. Now, we do face other existential threats. The climate emergency is one of them. Still, we don't tend to feel that in the same way. Until, of course, a major climatic event hits our lives, then we wake up to it. But often still, these tend to be more local or regional, not really global in scope. COVID-19, however, is playing havoc with everyone. It's hard to imagine that a teeny tiny little microscopic virus has, in a sense, brought the entire world to a virtual standstill. We are being forced to face a very, very harsh reality. And the harsh reality is this, that our lives are not as secure as we think. We don't know everything, and we don't control everything. As a good friend of mine put it recently, reality has forced humanity into a posture of non-self-reliance. And this is an uncomfortable posture for us. We've discovered that this promise of certainty is in actual fact just an illusion. So today I'm going to speak about keeping faith or finding faith in the storms of life. The Bible tells a great story about Daniel and his three friends. Daniel's friends too faced an existential crisis. They were captives in a foreign country, and they were being forced to worship foreign gods, something that went against the grain of their belief system. And so they refused. The king in this foreign country, he heard of it, and he flew into a rage. And he summoned them to establish whether this was true. And as he asked them, they answered respectfully, "Yes, O king." And the king was even further incensed, and he sentenced them to be burned to death in a fiery furnace. But this was their response to him: "O king, if we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But, O king, even if he does not, we want you to know that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up." Friends, did you catch the important insight there? And the insight is this, that God is in control no matter what you do, but there's something more. In a sense, they've created these two scenarios. Scenario number one is, he may choose to deliver us, O king, and he certainly can, or he may choose not to deliver us, O king, in which case we go to be with him anyway. Friends, this is one of the best bits of faith-based thinking under pressure in all of Scripture. But that scenario number two, that is the really hard one for us. Some of you are going, what do you mean by that? That God may choose not to deliver us? Well, that's the second scenario that they're painting. There's scenario number one, but there's also scenario number two. Friends, it's hard for us to accept that God may choose not to deliver us because we want God to deliver us when we pray, and we want God to deliver us every time. And in a sense, sometimes we've been brought and been taught to expect that to happen. But that may not be God's plan. God may not be intending to deliver us immediately out of a particular situation. God may rather be choosing to take us through a tough ordeal because he has a greater purpose in mind. And that purpose could include growing our faith, strengthening our character, but also revealing his extraordinary power in us. Now, we know this from life, that testing produces character and resilience. It's a general principle that most people accept. So what, in a sense, it's saying is that if we are saved from it, or if we are rescued from it too soon, important lessons may not be learned. And in the end, what may happen is that we may need more testing to make sure that it sinks in. And if you think about it, who wants that? Who wants to have to go through a lesson over and over and over again because we're learning very slowly? So in some senses, there's no benefit to us to be rescued from a situation too early. It may be better for us to go through a particular situation because we may come out stronger. Now, we know something of this as parents. We know that sometimes it's good to let our kids stew in the consequence of their actions for a time so that they learn something. They experience it and it sinks in. And once we feel that they've really gotten to understand what it is that they've done and the consequences, and they've learned something important, then we can step in to help them. So this is what the Apostle Paul says, talking about sufferings, going through times of trial and hardship. He says this: "We also glory in our sufferings because we know suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance produces character, and character produces hope." And that's one of the things that God aims to do through these tough times that we go through. And James, Jesus' brother, he highlights another benefit. He says, "Consider it pure joy." Now, that's a hard one for most people to accept, especially if the trial or the suffering that you're going through is particularly hard. But he says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance." There's that word again. But he goes on, "So let perseverance finish its work so that you may become mature and complete, lacking nothing." So we discover that tough times serve a similar spiritual purpose. They test and refine the caliber of our character, and they also test and refine the quality of our faith. So today, my question for all of us is, how are we doing? Actually, in fact, my question to you is, how is your faith holding up in this crisis? So on to another story. Jesus and his disciples, they were in a boat crossing a lake. It was after a day of really powerful ministry and preaching that Jesus had done. And just before that, the disciples who were with him, they had seen him deliver people from evil spirits, demonic supernatural powers. They'd seen him heal all kinds of ailments, all kinds of incurable diseases, even all kinds of irreversible disabilities. They had witnessed a whole barrage of wonderful supernatural miracles. They were, in a sense, on a faith high. And at the end of the day, Jesus was exhausted, and he gets them to cross over a lake onto the other side, and he falls asleep at the back of the boat. And as they are rowing and making their way across the lake, a storm arises, and it turns into a particularly violent storm. And we are told that the storms in that area, the waves can be up to 2 to 3 meters high. And they fear that they are going to be drowned. The boat's going to capsize, and this is going to be their end. And just like that, After having been on this faith high, their faith fell and fear took over. They totally freaked out. And so they head off to the back of the boat and they wake Jesus and clearly upset. They accuse him of not even caring if they die. And Jesus gets up and he says to the storm, "Be still." And amazingly, supernaturally, everything goes quiet. The wind dies down, the waves die down, and everything is placid and still. And then he turns to them and he says, "Why were you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And friends, if you thought that they were freaked out earlier, now they're even more freaked out than before. Because they witness what has happened and they look at him and in a sense they almost fall back and they go, "Who is he? Who is this person? Who is this man before us? Even the winds and the waves obey him." Now we know that this was certainly not a philosophical question that they were asking at this point in time, expecting some kind of speculative answer. This is a faith question to which the answer is blindingly obvious. Who has this kind of power? Who's the only one who can speak to the winds and the waves and they listen? Only God. Only God can do that. And they are faced with the fact that God is there right before them, with them in the boat. But we discover in the story that Jesus lets them experience the storm to test them. And so we've got to ask ourselves the question, how did they do? We saw how Daniel's friends did, but how did they do? Well, unlike Daniel's friends, my friends, unlike them, they fail miserably. Even though God was right there with them in the boat. And friends, we know that crises tend to have this kind of effect on us. They flood our minds and they overwhelm our hearts. And as a result of that, we don't think straight. And our emotions, well, they are all over the map. And we can't see beyond the threat that's right in front of us to the greater reality that's right behind it. We are so focused on the threat that it takes over everything in our lives and in our minds. In a sense, we don't see who is in the boat with us. But you got to remember Jesus' promise just before he left. This is what he said to his disciples and is what he's saying to us. Remember, I will be with you, Emmanuel. I will be with you even until the very end of the age. Jesus knows that we are going to go through times of trial, times of suffering, times of a hardship, times of persecution individually, collectively, even globally. Jesus knows this. And he's giving us this word of assurance to his people, I will be with you even until the very end of the age. So back to the story about Daniel and his friends. The king, as I said, is incensed and he has them tossed into this blazing furnace. And as he's looking into the furnace, suddenly the king exclaims, "Look, I tossed in three, but now I see four men walking about in the furnace. And the fourth man looks something like an angel." And he gets the fire to be doused and he brings them out. And he looks at them and they are studying them and they discover that Daniel's three friends are totally unharmed. Their clothes are not burnt, their hair is not singed, and there's actually no trace of smoke on them at all. However, only the ropes that were binding them, the ropes are now gone. They've been set free. And the pagan king, witnessing this, breaks out into praising God. He realizes that their God is the true God, is the almighty and the powerful God, and he breaks out into this praise. They knew something which the disciples in the boat didn't know, that God was actually with them in the fire. Last week, friends, I had the privilege of officiating at Louise Lowen's funeral. She was a quiet, soft-spoken, and very unassuming person. She was of Ukrainian Mennonite origin and came from German stock. You will see why that matters a little bit later. And Louise is one of those persons that we would say, well, probably didn't really have a big impact on the world around her. But here's Louise's story. In a later life, she was hit with cancer at age 50. She recovered, but never really fully thereafter. And about a decade ago, dementia set in. And while she even had dementia, she had to undergo two further surgeries for bowel complications. And add to this mix the slow onset of overall declining health, both mentally as well as physically. But her early life was just as interesting, if not even more. She had the misfortune of being a teenager from a Mennonite upbringing in Eastern Europe during the Second World War. What happened to her? Well, her father vanished mysteriously when she was 13 as the Soviets approached. She was forced to flee from her family home at the age of 15. She was separated from her mom and most of her other siblings at the age of 16. And she was forced, as a committed pacifist, to dig trenches for the war effort. She fled for her life on foot, at night, in the cold snow for days at age 17. And she lived with a constant threat of death or deportation for years. Finally, at the age of 20, she had to carve out for herself a new life in a new country with only her one sister, Annie, at her side. So you talk about an existential crisis. We discover that Louise didn't just have one crisis. She had many crises multiple times during her life. But here's the thing, friends. Through it all, her faith in God never wavered. She never gave up on God at all. Some would say, Louise, you have good reason to give up on God. Why believe in a God that lets these terrible things happen to you and to your family and to the world? Louise, are you sure that God is good? Louise, do you even know that God cares? But friends, Louise's example speaks volumes to us today, even amidst this particular crisis. Louise did not let persecution or hardship tarnish what she knew to be true about God. In the final testing, we discover that her faith and her character proved true. She was severely tested and really refined, but Louise came out shining. And here's the message of hope for all of us, my friends, for you and for me, so can we. So can we. We can weather this COVID-19 storm and come out stronger personally, but also in our faith and our walk with God. So friends, pulling all of that together, I want us to remember three things today. Remember this, that Christ is with us in the storms of life, and He walks with us through the fiery trials that we go through. Remember that, Christ is with us. But I also want us to take comfort in this, that tough times, as tough as they are never wasted with God. God, in His grace and in His mercy, is able to turn them into good by using them to grow our character and to mature and to strengthen our faith. And thirdly, I want us to rest assured in this. No matter how things turn out, there is always hope. This is what kept driving Louise forward. She believed that with God, no matter what was happening, no matter what her present circumstances are or were, there's always hope. So friends, in a sense, like Daniel's friends, we can say, if we live, well, then we bear witness to God's goodness in our lives, as well as God's power in our circumstances. It's a way of us bringing glory to God and us growing at the same time. But also, if we die, well, then we go to be with God. Ultimately, then, we are delivered, and that's a good thing. So friends, as we walk through this COVID-19 crisis ourselves and with our families, with our neighbors, and with our world, I really want us as believers to be able to be a calming presence in our families and in our communities as people who have this inner strength because we have faith in God. We trust that God is with us. We trust that God will help us. We trust that God will give us all that we need and that God will take us through And once we get to the other side, we will actually, in some ways, be stronger for it. So I want us to hold on to our faith. I want us to be able to look back on the lives of people like Louise Lowen, this unassuming saint whose life speaks volumes to us. I want us to be able to look back even on the disciples and say, well, they forgot something, but something that was very real, that God was right there with them in the storm. And I want us to be able to have the faith and the strength of character that Daniel's friends had, being able to say, no matter how this turns out, we trust in God's goodness, we know He's in control, and we know He will deliver us. Friends, that is my message for us today. Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the great hope that we have in You. Thank You, Lord Jesus, that You have promised to be with us through the storms of life. Help us, O Lord, to take comfort in the fact that even though we go through these trials, these things are never wasted with You. You are able to turn them into good by using them, O Lord, to grow us and to mature us in You. And Lord, help us to see that You are always in control, no matter what the outcome will be. We pray, O Lord, that You'd fill us with Your peace that passes all understanding, in such a way that not only does our faith grow, but that our lives bear witness to Your goodness and to Your power at work in us. We ask this in Your precious name. Amen.